Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arcan, Andy Hart, you at 617-779-7937 as we continue to react to the Red Sox. Pulling up a chair to the big boy table, making a trade. Garrett Crochet joining the team. A quartet of prospects heading to Chicago. And for more on that, joining us right now, WEEI and Nesson, Red Sox broadcaster, and our good friend Lou Maloney joins the program. Lou, how we doing?
Oh, we're doing a lot better now. I'm not going to lie to you. Like I can feel like I can breathe again and kind of, okay, now I can sit back because it was getting pretty stressful there. They're trying to thread a needle. But ultimately, they got the guy that I wanted. Like, Garrett Crochet, as I said before, is a pig. Mm. He is filthy. He is young, and I think he's about to take off. We'll see if it's going to be here, hopefully.
Any reservation about the fact that he's only had one real full season pitching in the majors at 25 years old? Is that something that you took into consideration when you were going over the idea of trading for this guy?
No, not really, just because of his path. You know, he was drafted, and he went right to the big leagues, and he was a reliever, you know, in 2021, and he had a pretty good year. So right away, he was, you know, got right taste of the big leagues and started using up this service time. And then missed 2 years because of Tommy John. So, you know, he was arbitration eligible with like 1 year in the big leagues, or even less, I guess you would say. So he is what he is, but in which, you know, the history of the injuries is the reason why last year was what it was in that second half. But I saw him in June. I watched his starts leading up to it. Going into June, mid-June, end of June, he was everything Scooble was. He just got shut down, basically.
Lou, I'm with you. I came in here today expecting to be all cranky and bitch about it. And all of a sudden, everything changed right before we went on the air, and I'm happy. So the only question I do have, and we always ask this about every big acquisition, playing at Fenway Park, playing in Boston. This is the guy we heard those rumblings, oh, I'm not going to be traded unless I get an extension. I won't pitch in the postseason. What's your understanding of kind of guy they're getting, kind of fit he'll be in the clubhouse and in Boston?
Yeah, I don't know the guy personally. I think a lot of that was completely overblown. You know, when you're a pitcher, when you're a player in the big leagues, you're your own company.
Yeah.
And this guy at 100 innings, July 3rd, and there was, if you go look at from that point on, he basically threw three or four innings the rest of the year. They kept him around 50 or 60 pitches because he had thrown 12 and two-thirds innings in 2 years. He had missed 2 years. He was so dominant, there was no way that this guy was going to throw 200 innings or 180. And if he was to be traded, and somebody actually thought that they could use him in October, which is why nobody traded him, because they knew it wasn't realistic. And as a starter, like, he's protecting himself. He's like, I just went through 2 years of Tommy John. And if you guys think you're going to roll me out there for the next 3 months and throw me 200 innings, I'm going to miss two more years of Tommy John. And the Garrett Crochet industry is not going to be doing very well. So he reacted, and I'm sure his agent reacted. And it was like, you want to blow me out? Give me an extension so I can sit home and make money. Other than that, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to throw 140, and then next year I'll be able to take off and go to 180 and end up getting paid someday.
So you don't think there will be any necessarily any limitations? I know he had 30-something starts, but the innings were low. You don't think they will have to be dealing with any limitations August, September next year?
No, I don't, because he gave you 145. And like I said, if you look at the game logs, everybody's talking about the second half. It was three innings, four innings, 56 pitches, every single start. They could have just shut him down, you know, and let him have like five more starts and then just shut him down at the deadline. But they wanted to keep him throwing. And I think, You know, there's a couple outings. I think the Red Sox actually got him late in the year, and somebody else got him. But there was a lot of four innings, one run, eight strikeouts mixed in there as well. So it was controlled. You know, everybody kept talking about Houck and Crawford and inning totals. You know, they got to their 180. This guy got to 145, totally comfortable with 180, 185 next year, 90, whatever.
Lou, what do you consider Crochet's ceiling to be? All-star, MVP, Cy Young? Like, what are we talking about here?
Well, Cy Young candidate. I mean, that's a ceiling, whether he gets there or not. I mean, he's got to stay healthy. I'm not saying this guy is an absolute lock. You know what I mean? There's risk with everybody. You know, not one pitcher doesn't have injury risk. But as far as ceiling goes, like, it's Blake Snell. You know, it's Tarik Skubal. And as dominant as he was last year, if you go look at his career, you know, the year before, he only had 80 innings and 15 starts. I don't think people would have the same questions last December if they had traded for some guy like, you know, Tarik Skubal, who's only thrown for 3 years and he's been okay. But sometimes you got to just watch the guy throw, look at his stuff, look at some of the numbers, the swing and miss, and it's absolutely elite.
We're talking with Lou Maloney, Nesson WEEI Red Sox broadcast. Lou, prospect package that was sent to Chicago, reminiscent of the Chris Sale package. The Josh Beckett one is another one that sort of popped up there. Any reservations about moving on from Kyle Teal with the catcher position having some uncertainty here in this organization and some of the other guys? Would you consider that a overpay, regular pay, underpay, what?
Well, first off, I've already forgotten who they've given up because I only give a rat's ass about who plays in April of this year, not in April of 2027. You know, it's, I mean, you got enough of this. Like, start cashing them in, and they did it, I think, for the right guy. We'll see. They give up a lot. You're supposed to give up a lot because of the ceiling he has. Like, Kyle Teal, I don't think, is going to be the best player in this package. You know, the top four is tiered. It's Anthony and it's the other kid, Campbell. You know, Meyer, he's got to stay healthy. They still love him. But Teal was always, and I mean always, labeled a high-floor prospect. You know, he's not Adley Rutschman. You know what I mean? He's not Buster Posey. You know, is he the best pitching prospect they've had in a while? Yes, but that doesn't mean much because they haven't had much since Tech. So, to me, it's like he's a big leaguer. I just don't know if he's like an impact big leaguer. Brayden Montgomery, and we don't even know him yet. He could end up hurting more than the other guys, but, you know, whatever. I don't care. I really don't. You kept your top three guys. You kept Abreu. You kept Casas. You kept Crawford. Like, you're trying to win right now. And those three guys that I mentioned, those prospects, can help you this year.
Do you think we'll be hearing about a contract extension or contract talks with Crochet anytime soon? Or they take the value they can get for a year and kick that can down the road a little bit?
Well, he's already in arbitration, right? So if he has the year that you hope he's having, that's going to jump year two, and then year three is going to be a big number. So yep. I don't see why you would wait around. I don't know him personally. I don't know his – I don't even know who his agent is. Some guys with the injury history that he has had probably would jump at an extension. He may be a guy that's just like, no, look around. I'm going to go for 2 years, and if you want me back here, you can bring me back here. So I don't know the answer to that. All I know is that you're a better ball club for the next couple of years, and then we'll go from there.
Garrett Crochet, CAA Sports is what it says on sporttrack.com. Okay, so Crochet now in place. Mm-hmm. Opening day starter is set. What's the next move?
Corbin Burns. I'm not done.
Wow, I like it.
No, but I think is that a reach? Probably. I don't know. Just take, but they haven't spent money yet.
Right.
This guy's $2.9 million. Like, we always felt there would be a trade and a signing. So here's the thing, though. It allows me to breathe. Like, if they didn't bring in a guy like Crochet or that ilk, and they tried to sell you and Walker Buehler was the big guy, right? Mm-hmm. Or even Jack Flaherty. Maybe he isn't a one-year wonder. I don't know. I wouldn't trust that, though. You know what I mean? I'd be like, well, I still want to wait and see. But now that you got this guy in the fold, if you go get a high upside Buehler, if you go get a Jack Flaherty, or if you dive into another guy that the computer spits out and says, yeah, we like him, I can live with that a little bit more, knowing that I got a high ceiling, a potential guy in Crochet. So I still want another starter. I want an adult in the bullpen, you know, a high leverage guy, kind of like Chris Martin role to go with Chapman and Hendricks, and probably that right-handed bat.
Do you have a preference on the right-handed bat? I know a lot of people, there's been a lot of Bregman talk, and I know Alex Cora talked him up nice. Some of us look at his numbers and say, huh, he kind of peaked 5 years ago.
Declining a bit. Yeah.
Getting a little older. The numbers are declining. Where would your preference be with the bat?
Well, I think, you know, I do like Teoscar, you know. It's funny because they keep denying this Devers move off of third, you know, to first and Casas. And maybe it doesn't play out because you're not dealing Casas now. Maybe you are. I don't know. But it's just strange because I know a lot of people over there like the Damas, you know, and they like Bregman, and they've had talks with Arenado, and they all play third. You know, I don't buy like the move. You know what I mean? Like, and I also understand why publicly they're going against it so strong of talking about Devers being moved off. You don't have that conversation with Rafi Devers in case you sign someone. You sign someone first, and then you have that conversation with Devers. So publicly, it's sort of like, you know, you never announce to the guy, listen, we're going to trade you. And he gets all flustered. He gets all pissed off. He hates everybody. And then 2 seconds later, you're like, you know what? It fell through. We'd love to have you back. You know, so there's no reason to talk to him about moving to third until you trade for Arenado or you sign Bregman, and then you have those discussions.
Speaking of discussions, in the Bregman reporting, it might have been Sean McAdam, I'm forgetting, but there was some talk of how there was sort of split within the organization, yeah. And one of the voices was Sam Kennedy.
Yeah.
Is Sam Kennedy a voice in baseball decisions right now?
Yeah, you know, he's the president, but it's funny because you don't look at him as like Larry Lucchino.
Right.
You know what I mean? And but he's still the president of the team. He's in all these meetings. He's given opinions, things like that. I thought it was, first off, the interesting part was the fact that it was just made public. Mm-hmm. I don't think the fact that a general manager and a manager or anybody in an organization disagrees on who to bring in. I think that's extremely common. We usually see it at the deadline. But you'd imagine in those rooms, there's no way. If a manager really wants a player or a GM doesn't like him, he wants someone else. And that happens all the time. The crazy thing with this one is that it actually got out, I think, more than anything.
Mm-hmm. Has ownership felt the heat this offseason, would you say, Lou? Because yeah. There was a lot of talk about, you know, it's the same crap we've been hearing. And they're going to be interested in all these guys. They're not going to do what it takes money-wise. We're talking free agents here, not so much trades. Not going to do what it takes to spend that yeah. kind of money. Would you say that the message is sort of broken through to John Henry and Werner and those guys and that they're feeling a need to react here?
Can I say we'll see?
Sure.
We do a radio show, Lou. You should know that.
No, and I totally understand. But it's like, yeah, they made the big trade that I want. They got a starting pitcher for 2.9 pre-arbitration. So it wasn't like, you know, they're sitting there, you know, the information about Fried, right? They were a year off, it seemed like. It's sort of like, why? Like, why? Why were you a year off? Like, you give 8 years. I don't see anybody in New York complaining about an overpayment for Max Fried. I see them just talking about Cole and Fried on top of that rotation, how much they love it. And that's going to be the same thing. You know, like, if you went out and gave Burns, like, 9, 280, and you jumped everybody else, no one's going to give a rat's ass how much you pay him when he is, like, a Cy Young candidate in your rotation. So, yeah, they made a nice trade, which is good. But you do want to see them go out in free agency and spend some money here now and really kind of put this team in a position where they can compete in a wide-open AL East.
They made this trade without altering the big league roster, and yep. There's been a lot of talk that somebody's got to go. Like, there might be a log jam at various – you mentioned Casas staying going, Yoshi staying going, the DH position, whatever. Mm-hmm. Who do you think needs to go? Forget who they should go after, but do you think there's a couple guys that just flat-out need to go?
I don't think they need to. You know what I mean? I don't think you need to ship anybody out. Like, okay. I've never felt like you needed to trade Casas. I always felt like his name came up because you were fishing in a different pond. Like, you know, when you start trading for guys with a year or two before arbitration, you know, you don't have to give up Casas. But if you swing and miss and all of a sudden now you're going after a guy with 4 or 5 years of control, like maybe what's going on down in Pittsburgh, if they make Jones or Bubba Chandler available, William Abreu ain't getting that deal done.
Right.
He's just not. You know what I mean? So then you got to include some guys. And that's the only thing. He's just a different level of player if you want to fish for that type of starting pitcher. So, but I would say Abreu, Casas, Yoshida, you know, are they still in play? I guess it still depends on what they're looking for. They already made one major trade.
That is the voice of Lou Maloney. You can hear him calling Red Sox games here at WEEI and on Nesson as well. Lou, thanks so much for the impromptu drop in here today. Always great to talk with you.
All right, guys. Have a good week.
All right. See ya, Happy Lou. Happy Lou. No longer Angry Lou or Angry Andy. We got Happy Everybody.
Everybody's
here.
Happy. Even you.
Even Happy Arcand. Right. I mean, when do you ever
never
get to see that?
No, I've worked. How long are we doing this? 4 months?
Yeah, books almost does. 4 months.
I've never seen Happy Arcand.
Well, now you've seen it.
I kind of like Happy Arcand.
Yeah, Happy Arcand.
Yeah, it's a lot more fun.
It's not much to be happy about lately. Other than the Celtics, there hasn't been much to be happy about.
Something to be happy about today.
Yes, I did watch the Bruins. We will talk about them a little bit later on in the show. But there is another piece of news that is developing. Andrew Callahan has some new reporting on it right now. Bill Belichick to North Carolina. We're certainly going to discuss that with Adam Schefter. We'll discuss it with you right after Dan Ball. Get you caught up on what's trending.